The Secret Fire Podcast and the Great Commission Transmission Network is made possible by the support of listeners like you.
To learn more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate.
Gandalf, my old friend, this will be a night to remember.
Broadcasting from the eaves of Lothlorien, Middle-earth, this is the Secret Fire Podcast, sent to burn at the heart of the world, episode number 39. I'm Michael.
And I'm Micah.
On this episode, the Lay of Nimrodel and the Living Waters. What can we learn about the Feast of Booths from an elf maid of Lothlorien? We invite you to come along, join the fellowship, become a servant of the Secret Fire, right here on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Micah!
Father.
Micah, a new episode of the Secret Fire Podcast. Who'd have thunk it?
It's a Christmas miracle.
It's a new year miracle here on January 5th. We're recording this. What is today? Saturday, January 5th. And it has been since October. Since our last episode, and there's just been a lot of things going on. If listeners tuned in to watch the Lotro video that I did a couple of weeks ago, which is on our YouTube channel, just go to YouTube and search Secret Fire Podcast. I did an hour-long video from the Yule Festival in Lord of the Rings Online and walked you through that and showed you how I do the tasks there. Well, anyway, I mentioned that, life just keeps throwing curveball after curveball here, and that is why we have been prevented from getting into the studio any sooner. We do apologize for that, especially to our patrons over there on patreon.com/secretfirepodcast. No. Boy, I don't know how to do this show anymore. Let me take a look here. patreon.com/GCTN.
There you go.
Anyway, so again, a big apology to all of you, but we are back. We're back in the saddle, and we are going to do our best to get on a regular schedule here. Hopefully every other week. Micah, you're just real busy with school, and now you're working.
Yeah.
Let's talk more about all that stuff as we get deeper into the show or after our discussion today so that we can go ahead and hop right into
it. Sounds good.
Yes, we are at the eaves of Lothlorien, as I mentioned. We're going to back up just a little bit and get a running start here. Lothlorien, cried Legolas. Lothlorien, we have come to the eaves of the Golden Wood. Alas that it is winter. Under the night, the trees stood tall before them, arched over the road and stream that ran suddenly beneath their spreading boughs. In the dim light of the stars, their stems were gray and their quivering leaves a hint of fallow gold. Lothlorien, said Aragorn, glad I am to hear again the wind in the trees. We are still little more than 5 leagues from the gates, but we can go no further. Here, let us hope that the virtue of the elves will keep us tonight from the peril that comes from behind. If elves indeed still dwell here in the darkening world, said Gimli, it is long since any of my own folk journeyed hither back to the land whence we wandered in ages long ago, said Legolas. But we hear that Lorien is not yet deserted, for there is a secret power here that holds evil from the land. Nevertheless, its folk are seldom seen, and maybe they dwell now deep in the woods and far from the northern border. Indeed, deep in the woods they dwell, said Aragorn, and sighed as if some memory stirred in him. We must fend for ourselves tonight. We will go forward a short way until the trees are all about us, and then we will turn aside from the path and seek a place to rest in. He stepped forward, but Boromir stood irresolute and did not follow. Is there no other way? He said. What other fairer way would you desire? Said Aragorn. A plain road, though it led through a hedge of swords, said Boromir. By strange paths has this company been led, and so far to evil fortune. Against my will, we passed under the shades of Moria to our loss. And now we must enter the Golden Wood, you say? But of that perilous land we have heard in Gondor, and it is said that few come out who once go in, and of that few, none have escaped unscathed. Say not unscathed, but if you say unchanged, then maybe you will speak the truth, said Aragorn. But lore wanes in Gondor, Boromir, if in the city of those who once were wise they now speak evil of Lothlorien. Believe what you will, there is no other way for us, unless you would go back to Moria Gate, or scale the pathless mountains, or swim the great river alone. Then lead on, said Boromir, but it is perilous. Perilous indeed, said Aragorn, fair and perilous. But only evil need fear it, or those who bring some evil with them. Follow me. And that is where we left off last time. Mike, are you ready to go on in the adventure?
Yes, I am. Let's go.
Remember what Bilbo used to say? It's a dangerous business,
Frodo. Going out your door, you step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to.
We are, what did he say, about 5 leagues, 5 miles?
Something like that, yeah.
From the gates?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Where are we in Lord of the Rings Online right now?
In Lord of the Rings Online, we are at the eaves, so to say, under the leaves. And from the description in the book, how it's displayed in Lotro, I wouldn't say it's terribly accurate, but it's very magical.
It is. It's very impressive to see.
When I read it in the book, at least the eaves, how they're described, I imagine, you know, like birch trees.
Yes.
From, you know, gray trunks and stuff like that. And I think in the movie, they did the eaves very well, where, you know, they're, do you recall what it looks like when they're first walking into the eaves?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it, so there is that silvery hue going on. But yes, in Lord of the Rings Online, it is gold.
Very magical. Yes.
Yes.
And the trees are practically white, and they're very, very large.
Those Malorn trees. All right. Well, let's continue on. They had gone little more than a mile into the forest when they came upon another stream flowing down swiftly from the tree-clad slopes that climbed back westwards towards the mountains. They heard it splashing over a fall away among the shadows on their right. That's in the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually the best vantage point to look at, look upon Lothlorien, I think. That's my favorite place to stand. They heard it splashing over a fall away among the shadows on their right. Its dark, hurrying waters ran across the path before them and joined the silver load in a swirl of dim pools among the roots of trees. "Here is Nimrodel," said Legolas. "Of this stream the Sylvan Elves made many songs long ago, and still we sing them in the north, remembering the rainbow on its falls and the golden flowers that floated in its foam. All is dark now, and the bridge of Nimrodel is broken down. I will bathe my feet, for it is said that the water is healing to the weary." He went forward and climbed down the deep cloven bank, stepped into the stream. "Follow me," he cried. "The water is not deep. Let us wade across. On the further bank we can rest, and the sound of the falling water may bring us sleep and forgetfulness of grief." One by one they climbed down and followed Legolas. For a moment Frodo stood near the brink and let the water flow over his tired feet. It was cold, but its touch was clean. And as he went on, and it mounted to his knees, he felt that the strain of travel and all weariness washed from his limbs. That's some magic water there, Micah.
Everything elven seems to provide some kind of relief from rest.
Yes. And this is where I want to stop. We're going to rest here at the water with the company for just a moment. We're going to jump into our Christian themes here. Right off the bat, I want to remind everybody of a quote by J.R.R. Tolkien in letter number 213. He says, I was born in 1892 and lived for my early years in, quote, the Shire, unquote, in a pre-mechanical age. I am a Christian, which can be deduced from my stories, and in fact, a Roman Catholic. Again, that's from letter number 213, written by J.R.R. Tolkien. I am a Christian, which can be deduced from my stories. What can we deduce from this small passage in this chapter? Follow me, he cried. The water is not deep. Let us wade across. On the further bank, we can rest, and the sound of the falling water may bring us sleep and forgetfulness of grief. This is a beautiful passage. Remember, he says, for it is said that the water is healing to the weary. John chapter 7 and verse 37 through 38, or 37 and 38, I should say. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Jesus speaks a lot about living water, coming to him and receiving that living water. Just three chapters earlier, when he is speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, you know, he says, draw me some water. And she does. And then he starts talking about, if you had asked me for living water, you know, that's a famous passage. But let's get back to John chapter 7 here. So on the last day, the great day of the feast, well, what feast is this? Well, we know from verse 2 of chapter 7, verse 2 and following, says the feast of the Jews, the feast of booths was near. Jesus is here in Jerusalem celebrating, experiencing the feast of booths. And this was the last day, the great day of the feast. Now, when you go back into your scriptures and you are studying about the feasts, of course, you can read about it, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Really, Numbers chapter 29 that's where the pot of gold is. That's where you get the best picture of these things. But it doesn't prescribe or order what to do at the feasts. Just says you will offer these sacrifices on these feasts. Well, the Feast of Booths was 7 days. 7 days plus one. We won't get into that plus one right now, because that was technically called the eighth day. We're going to talk about the Great Day, and it actually has a name. But first of all, I want to share some information from Jewish writings, and especially out of the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah is the first major written collection of the Jewish oral traditions, known as the Oral Torah. It's also the first major work of rabbinic literature. Now, the Talmud and all these writings, they were compiled after Jesus's day. But in the day of Jesus, they were going by the oral traditions of the rabbis and the Pharisees. This is Second Temple Judaism, to be more specific. So when they came back from Babylon, all the way up to 70 AD is the period known as the Second Temple period. And they had all these different things that they would do at the feasts. So out of the Mishnah, talking about the ceremonies with water and lights. Remember, later on, Jesus, at this same time, during this same festival, he talks about being the light of the world as well. But we're going to focus on the water. In, I don't know how to pronounce this word, in Sukkah 5:1 says, they, the sages, said in the Talmud, anyone who has never seen the rejoicing at the place of water drawing has never seen rejoicing in all his days. verse 3, and there was not a courtyard in Jerusalem that was not illumined or illuminated by the light of the place of water drawing. Continuing on Sukkot, or Sukkot, which is the Feast of Booths, God determines how much rain will fall that winter, the primary rainy season in Israel. Thus, while every sacrifice in the temple included wine libations poured over the altar, on Sukkot, on the Feast of Booths, water is also poured over the altar in a special ceremony. This ritual engendered such joy that it was celebrated with music, dancing, and singing all night long. The seventh day of the holiday is known as Hoshana Rabbah. This is the day when our fates, the Jewish people believed, for the coming year, which were signed on Rosh Hashanah and sealed on Yom Kippur, are finalized. This seventh day, this great day of the feast, because that's actually what this means. The holiday of Sukkot is pure joy. In our prayers, we call it simply the season of our rejoicing. On Sukkot, water was also poured over the altar. We already talked about this. Every morning of Sukkot at daybreak, a group of Levites and priests went down to the Shiloh stream, which ran south of the Temple Mount, and drew three measures of fresh water to be poured on the altar after the daily morning sacrifice. Okay, this is the scene. So it's not just a bunch of people lined up on picnic benches, just feasting and stuff and doing things. Things are taking place. So it's not just Jesus just standing up like a, pardon my crudity, like a madman. He just doesn't just stand up for no reason and say, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. No, these things are taking place. They are celebrating, and this pouring of the water and the drawing of the water and the joy that's taking place is the context where Jesus stands up and says that. Continuing on. Priests kindled fires. Let me back up. Their arrival with this water at the temple was accompanied by trumpet blasts. Priests kindled fires on great candelabra, lighting up Jerusalem as if it were the middle of the day. Whoever poured the water libation lifted the jug of water high in the air so that all could see him perform the mitzvah properly. So as the priest is holding up this joyful water, Jesus stands up and says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I think that's what this picture is here in The Lord of the Rings, this picture of Nimrodel. It is said, Legolas says, that the water is healing to the weary. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will rest you, is what Jesus says. Follow me, he cried. The water is not deep. Let us wade across. On the further bank we can rest, and the sound of the falling water may bring us sleep and forgetfulness of grief. One by one they climbed down and followed Legolas. For a moment, Frodo stood near the brink and let the water flow over his tired feet. It was cold, but its touch was clean, as he went on and it mounted to his knees, he felt that the strain of travel and all weariness was washed from his limbs. When all the company had crossed and rested and ate a little food, and Legolas told them tales of Lothlorien that the elves of Mirkwood still kept in their hearts, of sunlight and starlight upon the meadows by the great river before the world was gray. At length, a silence fell, and they heard the music of the waterfall running sweetly in the shadows. Almost Frodo fancied that he could hear a voice singing, mingled with the sound of the water. "Do you hear the voice of Nimrodel?" asked Legolas. "I will sing you a song of the maiden Nimrodel, who bore the same name as the stream beside which she lived long ago. It is a fair song in our woodland tongue, but this is how it runs in the western speech, as some in Rivendell now sing it, in a soft voice, hardly to be heard amid the rustle of the leaves above them he began." And at this point, we're going to allow Broceliande to sing this beautiful, beautiful song.
Alrighty.
Broceliande doing the lay of Nimrodel. Doesn't get much more beautiful than that.
No, that's lovely.
Yes. The Lay of Nimrodil by Broceliande off their album The Starlit Jewel. You can find out more about them and get a copy of that on their website at broceliande.org. That's B-R-O-C-E-L-I-A-N-D-E. If you're watching on the video, of course, you can see how it's spelt on there as well.
All right, now before we continue on, I like to bring up things as they come to me. That's
yes,
just how I work.
That's how you roll
but,
on the show.
One thing that I really appreciate that Tolkien does is that when he describes or not invents, but you know, comes up with these forms of relief, you know, they're all things that are relatable. You know, in some works of fantasy, you know. A magician might cast a spell on you and you're magically rejuvenated or whatever, but with Tolkien, like, bathing your feet, you can relate to that, you know? He just, you know, you're on a hike, you're hot, and, you know, you want to just rest your feet. When you dunk your feet in that water, it is a relief.
Yes.
And he just takes these things that are, that you can understand the feeling of, and he amplifies them.
And actually, that helps give us a renewed appreciation for these things, for water and for trees.
They're so relatable because
or even works of stone, right?
These weary travelers are, you know, every rest is a relief, you know.
Gandalf is a very powerful being. Very, very, very powerful being. He is Maia. He is one of the holy ones that was in the beginning with Eru Iluvatar. And he does not... We've talked about this many times. He is not there to make everything wonderful. He is there to inspire and stir the hearts of the free peoples forward. And so in lieu of that, we have things like this and the lore
and
the history.
And he's not casting a spell to make them.
Yes.
He's giving counsel.
Yeah, yes, that's exactly what
realistic
he is doing.
Things.
Yes, and of course he's not here right now. He has
R.I.P.
gone to the beyond, but up to the point where he fell with the Balrog, that applies. Now let's go ahead and read through this song so that we can absorb it. So here's what Legolas sings. An elven maid there was of old, a shining star by day. Her mantle white was hemmed with gold, her shoes of silver gray. This is quite an elf maid. A star was bound upon her brows, a light was on her hair, a sun upon the golden boughs in Lorien the fair. Her hair was long, her limbs were white, and fair she was and free, and in the wind she went as light as leaf of linden tree. Beside the falls of Nimrodil, by water clear and cool, her voice as falling silver fell into the shining pool. Where now she wanders, none can tell, in sunlight or in shade, for lost of yore was Nimrodil, and in the mountains strayed. The elven ship in haven gray beneath the mountain lee awaited her for many a day beside the roaring sea. A wind by night in northern lands arose, and loud it cried, and drove the ship from elven strands across the streaming tide. When dawn came dim, the land was lost, the mountains sinking gray, beyond the heaving waves that tossed their plumes of blinding spray. Amroth beheld the fading shore, now low beyond the swell, and cursed the faithless ship that bore him far from Nimrodil. Of old, he was an elven king, a lord of tree and glen, when golden were the boughs in spring and fair Lothlorien. From helm to sea they saw him leap as arrow from the string, and dive into the waters deep as mew upon the wing. The wind was in his flowing hair, the foam about him shone. Afar they saw him strong and fair go riding like a swan. But from the west has come no word, and on the hither shore no tidings elven folk have heard of Amroth evermore. Oh, gosh!
I appreciate something about all the songs that Tolkien writes, and that is that they all, at least the ones that describe a person or a place, they follow a certain pattern.
Yeah.
And that is, it begins with a description, and then it speaks of events that happened to the said character, and then it ultimately tells their fate.
Yes.
And I just, that just shows me an understanding of how to create art like this.
Oh, yes. Well said. Well said, my son. There is a lot to unpack in that song, but it's a tragedy. This love between this elf maiden, Nimrodel, and the description of her. I mean, this is her mantle white was hemmed with gold, her shoes of silver gray. You know, there was the very first line, an elven maid there was of old, a shining star by day. You know, and then her love with Amroth, who was an elven king, and them, the story of going to the bay, the docks, in order to go across to the Undying Lands, the Undying Lands is what it's called, mm-hmm. and them being separated, and then Amroth jumping off the boat.
I think, I don't like to give too much context to stories like this or tales like this, but the story is that basically they were going to go across together, but she wasn't there at the docks.
Yep.
And so as they were sailing away, he decided to... Well, you can deduce all this from the song, just to make
there
it
was,
simple.
Well, there was a storm in the port, and it broke the ship free that Amroth was on.
Yeah, and he was like, wait a minute.
Yes.
And so he jumped into the water to swim back, and nobody ever saw him again.
You know, and so we learn so much of their tale from this beautiful poem, this beautiful song. But you can also, dear listeners, get your copy of Unfinished Tales and go to the index and just look up Nimrodel, and then you can find all the places where the story is mentioned. Absolutely lovely. All right, let's continue on here in the narrative. The voice of Legolas faltered, and the song ceased. "I cannot sing anymore," he said. "That is but a part, for I have forgotten much. It is long and sad, for it tells how sorrow came upon Lothlorien, Lorien of the Blossom, when the dwarves awakened evil in the mountains." Oh yeah, there's a Balrog that's involved in this story as mm-hmm. well. But the dwarves did not make the evil, said Gimli. No, that was Morgoth. That was Morgoth, Gimli.
Yeah,
you're
there
right.
You
are right. "I said not so, yet evil came," answered Legolas sadly. "Then many of the elves of Nimrodel's kindred left their dwellings and departed, and she was lost far in the south, in the passes of the White Mountains, and she came not to the ship where Amroth, her lover, waited for her. But in the spring, when the wind is in the new leaves, the echo of her voice may still be heard by the falls that bear her name. And when the wind is in the south, the voice of Amroth comes up from the sea, for Nimrodel flows into Silverlode that elves call Celebrant, and Celebrant into Anduin the Great, and the Anduin flows into the Bay of Belfalas, whence the elves of Lorien set sail. But neither Nimrodel nor Amroth came ever back. It is told that she had a house built in the branches of a tree that grew near the falls, for That was the custom of the elves of Lorien, to dwell in the trees, and maybe it is so still. Therefore, they were called the Galadrim, the tree people. Deep in their forest, their trees are very great. The people of the woods did not delve in the ground like dwarves, nor build strong places of stone before the shadow came. And even in these latter days, dwelling in the trees might be thought safer than sitting on the ground. Oh, that was Gimli.
It's a very fair dwarf voice.
Yes, he was. He looked across the stream to the road that led back to Dimrill Dale and then up into the roof of dark boughs above. "Your words bring good counsel, Gimli," said Aragorn. "We cannot build a house, but tonight we will do as the Galadrim and seek refuge in the treetops if we can. We have sat here beside the road already longer than was wise." Do you want to continue on?
Sure.
Okay. The company now turned aside from the path and went into the shadow of the deeper woods, westward along the mountain streams away from Silverlode. Not far from the falls of Nimrodel, they found a cluster of trees, some of which overhung the stream. Their great gray trunks were of mighty girth, but their height could not be guessed. "I will climb up," said Legolas. "I am at home among the trees, by root or bough, though these trees are of a kind strange to me, save as a name in song. Melurn, they are called, and are those that bear the yellow blossom. But I have never climbed one. I will see now what is their shape and way of growth."
"Whatever it may be," said Pippin, "they will be marvelous trees indeed if they can offer any rest at night except to birds. I cannot sleep on a perch."
"Then dig a hole in the ground," said Legolas, "if that is more after the fashion of your kind. But you must dig swift and deep if you wish to hide from orcs." He sprang lightly up from the ground and caught a branch that grew from the trunk high above his head. But even as he swung there for a moment, a voice spoke suddenly from the tree shadows above him. "Daro!" it said in commanding tone. And Legolas dropped back to earth in surprise and fear. He shrank against the bole of the tree. "Stand still," he whispered to the others. "Do not move or speak." There was a sound of soft laughter over their heads, and then another clear voice spoke in an elven tongue. Frodo could understand little of what was said, for the speech that the sylvan folk east of the mountains used among themselves was unlike that of the west. Legolas looked up and answered in the same language.
"Who are they and what do they say?" asked Merry.
"They're elves," said Sam. "Can't you hear their voices?"
"Yes, they are elves," said Legolas. "And they say that you breathe so loud that they could shoot you in the dark."
Sam hastily put his hand over his mouth. "But they say also that you need have no fear. They have been aware of us for a long time, long while. They heard my voice across the Nimrodel and knew that I was one of their northern kindred, and therefore they did not hinder our crossing. And afterwards, they heard my song. Now they bid me climb up with Frodo, for they seem to have some tidings of him and of our journey. The others they ask to wait a little and to keep watch at the foot of the tree until they have decided what is to be done."
Out of the shadows, a ladder was let down. It was made of rope, silver gray and glimmering in the dark. And though it looked slender, it proved strong enough to bear many men. Legolas ran lightly up, and Frodo followed slowly. Behind came Sam, trying not to breathe loudly. The branches of the Malorn tree grew out nearly straight from the trunk and then swept upward. But near the top, the main stem divided into a crown of many boughs, and among these they found that there had been built a wooden platform, or flet, as such things were called in those days. The elves called it a talan. It was reached by a round hole in the center, through which the ladder passed. When Frodo came at last up onto the flet, he found Legolas seated with three other elves. They were clad in shadowy gray and could not be seen among the tree stems unless they moved suddenly. They stood up and one of them uncovered a small lamp that gave out a slender silver beam. He held it up, looking at Frodo's face and Sam's. Then he shut off the light again and spoke words of welcome in his elven tongue. Frodo spoke haltingly in return. "Welcome," the elf then said again in the common language, speaking slowly. "We seldom use any tongue but our own, for we dwell now in the heart of the forest and do not willingly have dealings with any other folk. Even our own kindred in the north are sundered from us. But there are some of us still who go abroad for the gathering of news and the watching of our enemies, and they speak the languages of other lands. I am one. Haldir is my name. My brothers Rumel and Orfin speak little of your tongue. Haldir." A great elf. "But we have heard rumors of your coming, for the messengers of Elrond passed by Lorien on their way home up the Dimrill Stair. We had not heard of hobbits, of halflings, for many a long year, and did not know that any yet dwelt in Middle-earth. You do not look evil. And since you came with an elf of our kindred, we are willing to befriend you, as Elrond asked. Though it is not our custom to lead strangers through our land. But you must stay here tonight. How many are you?" "8, said Legolas. "Myself, 4 hobbits and 2 men, one of whom, Aragorn, is an elf friend of the folk of Westernes." "The name of Aragorn, son of Arathorn, is known in Lorien," said Haldir. "And he has the favor of the lady. All then is well, but you have yet spoken only of 7. The 8th is a dwarf."
Yeah, I love this, yeah.
"The 8th is a dwarf," said Legolas.
And you can see him like hunching his shoulders. Yeah. "Don't hate me."
"A dwarf," said Haldir. "That is not well. We have not had dealings with the dwarves since the dark days. They are not permitted in our land. I cannot allow him to pass." "But he is from the Lonely Mountain, one of Dane's trusted people, and friendly to Elrond," said Frodo. "Elrond himself chose him to be one of our companions, and he has been brave and faithful." The elves spoke together in soft voices and questioned Legolas in their own tongue. "Very good," said Haldir at last. "We will do this, though it is against our liking. If Aragorn and Legolas will guard him and answer for him, he shall pass. But he must go blindfold through Lothlorien. But now we must debate no longer. Your folk must not remain on the ground. We have been keeping watch on the river. On the rivers ever since we saw a great troop of orcs going north towards Moria, along the skirts of the mountains many days ago. Wolves are howling on the woods borders. If you have indeed come from Moria, the peril cannot be far behind. Tomorrow early, you must go on. The 4 hobbits shall climb up here and stay with us. We do not fear them. There is another Talon in the next tree. There are others. There the others must take refuge. You, Legolas, must answer to us for them. Call us if anything is amiss, and have an eye on that dwarf."
I think that's a good place to stop.
All right. That is some good, good stuff.
"You need say no more. We'd best get a move on. There are still goblins about."
"Oh, bother. More mountains?"
"No. Don't you see? The sun is setting in the west, behind the mountains. We're on the other side, to the edge of the land beyond."
Nice.
Yeah, that's fantastic stuff. We learned a lot today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nimrodil, A fantastic story. And I cannot wait. Mike, I've been rereading
Are you going to talk about the show?
What
the
show?
The upcoming Amazon thing?
No, I don't know anything about that.
Oh, okay.
I've been, like, spoiler-free. Have you been keeping up with that?
No.
There's a lot of rumor and a lot of speculation going on with that.
Yeah, I'm going to stay away or I'll get my hopes up for stuff.
Yes. I just want to be pleasantly surprised. And I do plan, Micah, when that show comes out, do you have any idea when that's...
Oh, no, I don't.
Okay.
We're
going to do special episodes on each of those episodes.
Now, okay, we don't want to get our hopes up, but I know what you're hoping for. You're hoping for episode after episode of just hobbits doing hobbits.
Yes, just hanging out in the Shire. That's
today hobbits planting flowers in pots.
I'm like J.R.R. Tolkien. He said that himself. He goes, I'm amused by hobbits. I enjoy them just with their jokes and their
I would love that too. Maybe a hobbit reality TV show.
Yes. That's what I am looking forward to. Good stuff. So we'll keep abreast on that, and listeners, you keep up with that for us and just fill us in on just the important things.
Yeah.
When can we expect this and what have you? But we have a listener challenge for you to garner some feedback for you. What part of this section of the chapter stood out to you and why? You want to talk about Nimrodel and that, the analogies and the parallelisms that take place with other stories? You know, there are so many fantastic stories of love and loss and tragedy in the Legendarium, Tolkien's Legendarium. But anyway, you let us know what you thought, and we will send out all the ways to get in touch with us here in just a moment. Michael, we didn't get any feedback that I know. So
what on earth are these?
Replies to the party invitations.
Good gracious.
Yeah, not here, though. That's just Bilbo.
You got where are they?
Yeah, good gracious. It's been quite a long time. But, you know, we do have a new patron, and we want to welcome Brian Lapsley to the fellowship here. Brian is a fantastic artist.
Awesome.
Yes. In fact, I'd like to talk with you a little bit about some art, possible art. So anyway, welcome, and anybody else that wants to help the fellowship here, get over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/GCTN. Put that up here on the screen for those watching on the video. It's kind of weird to ask because, of course, it's been so long since our last episode. Again, apologies for that. We will rectify that. I want to say this real quick. I'm looking for volunteers out there. If you've been a longtime listener of the Secret Fire podcast, let me tell you what I really, really, really need. I need somebody that is proficient with WordPress. Okay, our websites are on WordPress, self-hosted. And, when I come up with a problem arises... Yeah, sure, I could go and search Google for days and days and days in order to find somebody that has the same exact problem as I do. But what I tend to do is say, I don't have time for that, and I just let the problem continue. But anyway, if there's anybody out there in the fellowship, in the company of listeners, that would like to volunteer some time with WordPress, boy, that would be helpful. And speaking of volunteers, anybody that would like to volunteer and help us with our Facebook page in order to keep things current and posting things and such as that, if you're interested in either one of those things to help us out, get in contact with me because I'd like to meet you. We'd need to do a Skype call or a FaceTime call or what have you, just so that I could see you face-to-face and get to know you a little bit better. So that would be wonderful. On our Patreon page, getting back to that, I have posted a couple of behind-the-scenes videos and planning on doing more of those. In fact, Micah, we might do that in order to get everybody caught up on, just what's been going on here in the last couple of months. So many different things going on and things such as that. But I don't know. There's really Micah's really busy with college. You finished your first semester.
Sure did.
And you started a job.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of work are you employed in, Micah?
I'm a server at a restaurant.
And how is that?
Pretty good.
Tell everybody out there real quick what it's like to be a server dealing with the public.
You gotta put on your best face, have your best attitude, and just go for it. And I mean, not let anyone get to you, really.
Water off a duck's back?
Yeah.
What about school? What'd you finish up studying?
I did my mandatory speech, which, easy peasy. Got that out of the way. Straight A's and all that. And then I did my math. Then I did my...
Are you done with math now?
Yeah, surprisingly.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Until I'm, you know, maybe...
Until I need it.
Yeah, until I need it. Yeah. And then got my English Composition 1 out of the way, and then my History 1.
So a new semester is getting ready to start. What are you going to be doing then?
My next history, a psychology class, a sociology class, and then I've forgotten what the last one was. It must not be that interesting. Yeah.
You'll find out when you show up. Let's see here. In December, we had the local community theater did A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fantastic. Micah wasn't able to participate in that play, but all three of my girls did. All the way down to one of my dads. Yes, I was in that production.
The best Jacob Marley that has ever been on stage.
I did have the absolute honor of portraying Jacob Marley. I have two favorite characters in A Christmas Carol, and A Christmas Carol is one of my very, very favorite stories. In fact, I often tongue-in-cheek say that it should be part of the canon of Scripture. But Jacob Marley is one of my favorites, and then The Ghost of Christmas Present is my other favorite. Well, the gentleman that they got to play Ghost of Christmas Present, he was the guy.
Oh, certainly looked the part, yes.
He was the guy for Ghost of Christmas Present.
You would have made an excellent one of those, too.
So that was a lot of fun. And also, I've picked up another show on the local radio station. So I'm actually have three shows on the station. But now I'm going in on Fridays from 10 to noon and doing what's called their community jukebox. So people call in and request songs, and that's a lot of fun. Do that for a couple hours, and then I have a music show that airs on Saturday and Sunday mornings, and then our show Finding Christ in Cinema airs on Sunday nights, and just been going busy with that. That's about it, really. So again, we'll get back on track. So I'm hoping every other week.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, works for me.
Okay, because Micah's schedule, sometimes they'll call him in. We were supposed to be in the studio last weekend, and lo and behold, Micah's... they scheduled me, and I didn't know about that. So, anyhow. All right, well, before we get going, we have some party invitations to send out. The Secret Fire Podcast is live in the GCT Network studio whenever we are actually live in the studio. We'll send out notifications when we're broadcasting on this Twitch page here.
Hey, it's been so long, I forgot to pull my thing up.
All right, so. The best way to get notified when we are live in the studio is via Twitter at Secret Fire Cast. So I'll just go ahead and do all of this stuff.
Yeah, thanks.
And you can join us on the Arkenstone server in Lord of the Rings Online at lotro.com. Send all email to secretfire@gctnetwork.com. Call the Hobbit Hotline at 507-407-GCTN. Again, that is 507-407-4286.
Hello?
Hi, Fatty. Yes, Fatty is there.
Hey, Fatty.
Just called to make sure that he is standing by. Subscribe to the Secret Fire Podcast in any of your favorite podcast apps, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or whatever that's called now, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, your favorite podcatcher. Micah, you got an Alexa or an Echo for Christmas, and he can just walk in his room and say, play Secret Fire. Alexa, play Secret Fire Podcast.
Yeah, you got to shout at her.
And she'll say, playing the latest episode of... So that was pretty neat. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what that app was that you had to add to it? Pod or something?
No, I can't remember.
I think we tweeted that out or put that on our Facebook page if you're interested in that. Anyway, our theme song, Hobbit's Dance, is from the album Memories of Middle-Earth by Brob Dignagi and Bards. Find out more about them and buy all the music on their website by visiting it at thebards.net. To find out more about the Secret Fire podcast, as well as our other shows, including Finding Christ in Cinema and the Theonauts, visit our main website at gctnetwork.com. If you like the Secret Fire podcast, please share it with your friends and review the show in iTunes. But if you love the Secret Fire podcast, please consider becoming a patron and a sustaining member of the fellowship on our Patreon page at patreon.com/GCTN. I'll never, ever get that right. Yes. And until next time, we regret to tell you
that this is the end. I'm going away. I'm leaving. Now. Goodbye.
It was tied to an elven king.
A talon.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, one of those platforms in a melon tree.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission.
At gctnetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission transmission.